Well, I'm just going to go over those again. What does it mean? If you missed the point, children are the most receptive to the gospel. There's no denying it. Children are the most receptive to the gospel. And yet, historically, we've not given this truth the attention nor the resources it deserves. These children, when they come to trust Jesus, aren't just like apprentices. They're fully Christian. They're fully Christian. Their witness to Jesus is as effective, if not more, than many adults. We need to share our resources so that the entire body of Christ is blessed, not just our small corner of the vineyard. So we have to give up some stuff. We have to give up those things which perhaps are really near and dear to us, or at least be more willing to share. And last but not least, is that there are those that we may not share every fine point of theology or doctrine, but we do share a desire to see the name of Jesus exalted. And so go have a cup of coffee with them and talk a bit about what God has been doing here, perhaps at Elgin, or what God wants to do in the community of Stratford. It's one thing to see a video like this, but the question that I have is the point of this video supported by Scripture? Is it sound? Then that's a good question. Now, let me make a couple of provisos. Number one, Jesus, he didn't target children in his ministry, though he did welcome them. He preached to all people, and he preached in simple terms. He didn't use fancy, highfalutin language. He used things that every person in the crowd could understand, I believe, as well as children. And we find, as well as we take a look through the history of the church, that they did some awesome things. But again, there doesn't seem to be a concerted effort to reach children. And yet, even as I say that, there are a number of scriptures that speak to how God wants us to consider the value of children in our midst. The first one is Jesus' words. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said, "Let the little children come to me, and don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." We find in the book of Matthew. Let's go on a little bit farther. "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Matthew 11, "At that time, Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you've revealed them to little children.' Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." Isn't that cool? Pleased to do. You can see the appeal that Jesus is making to the people around him is that the simplicity of faith is not lost. Indeed, it's the most profound thing about our Christianity. There's a simplicity to this. Matthew 18, 1-6, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, 'Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And if anyone causes one of these little ones," and then he goes on to illustrate, he talks about this as a little bit of a larger illustration. He says, "Those who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Palm Sunday. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things Jesus did and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. Must have been quite a few. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise." You know, that one actually struck me right between the eyes. I'd never seen that one quite the way I did this time around. "From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise." Mark 9, 35 to 37. "Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, 'Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all.' He took a little child whom he placed among them, and taking the child in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me.'" There's quite a number of scriptures in Matthew, Mark, and Luke particularly, not so much John, where these same stories are told again and again and again and again. Jesus loves children. Jesus uses them as illustrations on how adults ought to believe and trust in God. He literally uses them as illustrations. If you can believe as a child, that's the kind of belief we're looking for in an adult. It's not simple-minded, but it is simple. We need to develop a simple dependency on God, just as a child depends on his or her parents to provide. And there is, in the Bible, an account of a child that was used of God mightily. His name was Josiah, and we find the record of his reign in two places in the Old Testament. I've got 2 Kings chapter 22. If you have your Bibles, you can turn back there, please. 2 Kings chapter 22. And reading verses 1 to 7. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th day year of his reign, so if you do the math, he's now 26. King Josiah sent the secretary Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the temple of the Lord. He said, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Have them entrusted to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple, and have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, and the masons. Also have them purchase timber and dress stone to repair the temple, but they need not account for the money entrusted to them because they're honest in their dealing." So the king, I mean, in the first 18 years, there's some things that have happened in Josiah's life. He's come to the conclusion that the temple needs to be repaired, and he does so. Now, if you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, you'll actually find a few more details that we missed. In 2 Chronicles 34, this is the same account, just by a different author. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, so again, do the math. This young man's now 16. While he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. So there's been a movement in this young man's life. In 8 years, he's beginning to change in terms of his pursuit of God. In his 12th year, so add another 4, he's 20. He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, these places of false worship, Asherah poles and idols. Under his direction, the altars of the Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them and smashed the Asherah poles and the idols. those he broke to pieces, and he scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He burned the bones of those priests on their altars, and he purged Judah and Jerusalem in the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and in the ruins around them. He tore down the altars and the Asherah poles and crushed the idols to powder and cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Israel. And then he went back to Jerusalem. I mean, this guy is passionate. He's passionate. If I were to describe it, that would be the best way. He's passionate about his relationship with God. When he became a king at the age of 8, and then 8 years later, it becomes so significant in his heart and in his life. And then at the age of 20, he starts to do this. And according to the book of 2 Kings, at the age of 26, he begins to rebuild the temple. All of this is done by this young man. Incredible when you start to think about it. Now, there's two things that are noteworthy as we consider Josiah and his reign over Judah. The first is this. His father, Amon, and his grandfather, Manasseh, were both very wicked kings. Both of these men that his direct ancestors. Manasseh, at the end of his kingship, did repent. There was a time where he did repent. And one of the chroniclers picks that up. But it is remarkable in my mind that Josiah's desire to serve God was formed so early in his life. With that kind of influence, Manasseh served for 51 years or something of that nature. His father, Amon, was murdered, assassinated. And Josiah was 8 years old. His father was 22 when he died, so you do the math again. Figure out how young Amon was when he had Josiah. Like 8 years, 22, that's young. They were both very wicked kings. But the second thing that's just noteworthy in my mind is someone had to have influence over Josiah. Somebody. His father Amon had been assassinated when Josiah was 8. He probably remembered his grandfather Manasseh, but their examples were extremely flawed. If anything, should have left him going the other direction. So who were the people that made such an impact on this young king? Well, here it goes. It was fortunate for him. Fortunate for him. Biblical for him. It saved him and his country that he was guided by pious men like the high priest Hilkiah and his son Jeremiah. Does that sound familiar? By Shaphan, the royal scribe, and his son Jehoiakim. By Shallum, the faithful chamberlain, and his wife, the prophetess Huldah. There were men and women that put into Josiah's life things that his parents never did. And they made a difference. They made a significant difference. My message this morning is a simple one. I want you to prayerfully consider the application. And it is this, that the influence we exert over children and young people can never be underestimated. It must never be underestimated. You might think you've got an 8-year-old child in your Sunday school class, and that child will reign as a king to the glory of God. That child will be someone in the kingdom of God. That child will make a difference, not just way in the future, but now, today. Ministry to children and youth results in demonstrating the love of Jesus to them, bringing them to a place where they will follow the Lord on their own. And that kind of ministry, folks, is priceless because you're dealing with children whose lives will be shaped really for eternity. Most of you know my own testimony. I became a Christian at the age of 16, just like Josiah. It began to all make sense at the age of 16. My decision to trust in Jesus as my Savior is rooted in the prayers of a godly mom and a godly opu, my grandmother, who prayed for the salvation of her 13 children and 55 grandchildren. And I'm a result of that. My life changed because of the influence of people in my life way, way, way back when. And if I were to do a straw poll among us this morning, I'm sure the same thing would apply. How many of us came to Christ as a child? How many of us, the relationship we had with Jesus began pretty early in your own estimation? Want to put a hand up?
Yep.
So, aim lower. The ministry we have to adults is great, but it will not bring about the salvation that we desire to see, likely, as it would with a child. Think smaller. Allow children to express their gifts. Allow them to be the Christians that God wants them to be. How do we do that? How do we make them take responsibility for their faith earlier? It's a work of God, but we're a people of influence. And give up. Let's not hoard our resources. Let's give, that God would be able to take that resource and use it in the application to a child's life. And lastly, go have a cup of coffee. And we do have coffee served immediately after this service, so you can do that. All right, love a child. You say, well, I'm older in life. I really don't feel like teaching Sunday school anymore. I don't think that's necessarily the only response that you can have. My suggestion would be a mentor. Be an example to a child. When a child comes up to you, instead of grabbing his arm or her arm to stop them from running, maybe just stop them, but get down a little farther. And for some of us, that's kind of hard to do. But ask their name. Talk to them. Love them. Work in a ministry if you're so inclined, like Launchpad or youth. I became a Christian at the age of 16. And the influence of people in my life at that particular time, I cannot overestimate. It's incredible what God did. Don't be a sourpuss. Don't be a sourpuss. We get ourselves all bent out of shape, and they're kids. Don't be a sourpuss. Pray for your children. Pray for your children's workers. Talk to children. Talk to teens. May it be that marks us. And so that's, I thought that would be probably the best way to kick this month off, just talking about how God would desire to use us in the life of a child. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning that we have this privilege of coming to you and talking to you now. And God, to be able to say to you, thank you for the influence of people in my life when I was younger who drew me to you. And we likewise, Lord, have that same privilege of being able to see ourselves invested in the lives of young people, children, teenagers, young people, Lord, that today have minds that desire to know and ears that haven't been filled with all sorts of garbage from this world to the point, Lord, they're still able to listen. And I pray, Father, today that you'd use us as a church. A church, God, that has historically been known as a church that deals well with youth and our soccer clubs and the children, the pioneer clubs and now Launchpad and the ministry, God, that goes on day after day. May we continue to see more of that happen, because God, let's help us, God, to minister to these kids in nursery. Lord Jesus, in the children's church, we have this privilege. Would you form up, begin a new work in the hearts and lives of those around us, but God, help us to aim lower and to see their lives transformed. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Lord bless you this morning. Thank you for coming to church. Shake hands and be friendly and go have a cup of coffee.